honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our focus on the anniversary of the invasion of Sicily, an important milestone in the Allied victory in World War II as it paved the way for the liberation of Italy, France, and the rest of Europe. Just about everything you know about D-Day, from beach landings to paratroopers and glider troops behind enemy lines, it was all done on a smaller scale nearly a year earlier in a six-week battle that met with much success, but also cost the lives of more than 2,800 Americans. You've already heard from two men who nearly added to that number, and now you're going to hear from three more. Bill Kendall would go on to have a significant role in the Normandy invasion in 1944, but Sicily would be his baptism by fire. By the time I had the privilege of interviewing Bill, his hearing was almost gone, and his speech not quite as easy to understand as it once was, but as you'll find, his memory and mental acuity still razor sharp.
Well, I went to Norfolk, Virginia, and that's when they put us in the 2nd Beast Battalion. We then shipped out to North Africa, arrived in Oran during an air raid, incidentally. But we wound up in a field where the army was located, and they sent out half a captain to everybody in coveralls. We didn't know what was going on. And we found out we'd be good trained by the Army. And they did a pretty good job.
And some people listening probably have never heard of the 2nd Beach Battalion, so they may not understand what the role of a beach battalion is. Can you help us understand that bigger picture and also what your role in that unit was?
Well, our role was to land and set up the beaches for the assault troops. And we did that in Sicily and in Normandy.
And you had to establish some radio communications when you landed? Was that your specific role?
We had a little generator that came with us, and we had communications with the ships at sea. Of course, the whole thing was to get ashore and survive.
Yeah, and that was no small feat. And I know this is a long time ago, but you told me your memory is really sharp for those years. So I'm wondering if you remember just that journey over from Norfolk to North Africa. Was there some concern about German submarines or your convoy being attacked?
Well, I think there was some, as I understand, they were attacked. One of the ships was damaged, I understand, in the convoy. So I guess we did pretty good going across without being hit.
And did you have any thought in your mind as you're leaving the only country you've ever known and you're heading overseas, was there a concern in your mind that you might not come back?
No, I don't think so. It might have been, but I don't recall. I know the Army kind of brainwashed me, so you kind of lose the feeliness that goes with that I had prior to that. So things are a lot different when you're trained, particularly to do a thing. You do it automatically.
What was the first moment where it sank in for you that this is war, and you saw the side of war that includes death and destruction, and it's real?
Yeah, well, I know when we get ready to land in Sicily, we were put on an LST, which has small boats where we all loaded into, and then supposed to drop into the water while the boat that I had me in went to the level of the ship deck and stopped. And the boat kind of swung out from the ship three or four times until someone found the trigger, and it dropped into the water about 10 feet. So, and as we hit, a couple of spotlights came in from the shore. We thought that was maybe the end of it. But they knocked that off, we landed, and as we hit the beach, the ramp wouldn't go down because it was damaged during the hit against the side of the ship. So I was pretty well covered with I had a submachine gun and a lot of ammunition, so I couldn't get over the top like the other guys did. So I finally, the ramp got down about 25 inches maybe, and I squeezed through that. And I was kind of getting stuck in the V of the ship with my foot. Well, the guy put it in reverse and he threw me off. So I landed in the water about 3 or 4 feet.
This is your first landing, and this is Sicily. You know, we hear all this about D-Day, but not too many people know what you guys did at Sicily, which was a long time earlier. This is 1943. So I'm just trying to understand here. It kind of sounds like a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. When we fell, it left my stomach, and we all threw up because we hit them so hard.
So you're in this landing craft, and you're swinging back and forth, crashing into the side of the ship, and then you finally drop and smack into the water. And so you're saying that jiggles you all up and disorients you?
We're maybe 3 or 4 minutes late getting going because of that. So we were the tail end of the group going in. But we all made it pretty well.
But then you're trying to get out of this boat, and the ramp is stuck. Yeah, and you say they just wedged it down enough where you could squeak through the opening between the ramp and the ship?
Just squeeze through.
And then you said your foot got caught. So then when the boat pulls back, you spill into the water. What did you see when you picked yourself up out of the water? What was going on around you?
Well, there was a lot of gunfire going on. It seems a lot of what they call the bullets, you can see, being shot at pretty heavily as we're landing. But it seemed to be all above the boat. And when I actually landed, we saw the barbed wire on posts, and in our briefing, it didn't tell us anything about the barbed wire. But I met a couple of guys, and they had Bangalore torpedoes, which gives you about 16 feet of explosives. And they put them through the barbed wire and exploded, and we got away up through the beach. But it was a little hectic at the time, and we all survived. One of our group was shot by, I think he was shot by one of the army guys. He's the only casualty I remember. It was a struggle to get there, but it was pretty good. And we settled down fairly fast.
I'm just imagining. I mean, you're a pretty young guy at this point.
23 years old, yeah.
You're old in relation to some of the other servicemen, but that's a young man to be going through all these things. How did you handle seeing those things, experiencing those things? Was your heart pounding? How did you respond to that?
I don't know. I think I was so, you know, I always thought, I go back and say, why wasn't I scared? I don't remember being scared. You know, usually you kind of panic when you went into that particular situation, but I didn't. I don't, it was because of the army training. They took the fear right out of me, I guess. Because I was no brave fella. I was just one of the other guys that made the landing. And I saw a lot of the mayhem out there. We captured a few Italian soldiers and stuff. The part about that particular was they were all complaining that they had relatives in Chicago and New York City. Like I say, I survived it, so I was always called Lucky Billy, so that was part of my luck.
Lucky Billy. Bill Kendall just passed away 3 months ago at the age of 101. He went on to a long career in Hollywood, working on shows I'm sure you saw, like All in the Family and Good Times. Phil Reed also ended up in Southern California, and like Bill Kendall, also took part in the D-Day invasion at Normandy, but in July 1943, he too had a close call in Sicily aboard LCI 35. LCI, of course, stands for Landing Craft Infantry.
It was 158 feet long,
mm-hmm.
20 feet wide, flat bottom.
It's not very big.
No, 158, and we carried 200 troops. It was really loaded when you...
And something tells me it probably didn't handle rough seas all that comfortably.
Yeah. Another deal that happened, we were in Palermo, and we were hauling troops up to the Straits of Messina and going to let them off there. And it was 12 o'clock at night, and I just got off a watch. I just got back down to the cruise quarters, and I heard a bang, and we hit a British cruiser broadside. They said if we would have been half a minute longer, he would have cut us right in half.
Wow.
And then on the way back, they pushed all our bow in, but nothing leaked. And so on the way back to Palermo, we were sitting alongside the ship there, and all of a sudden somebody hollered, "There's a mine," and a mine went right by us within 2 feet. You could almost touch that. I could still see those things sticking up.
You could see it from where you were.
You were sitting there.
Wow.
I wouldn't be here today if we would have hit it.
Yeah, you got a couple kids who had never been born. There's a great family photo here on the wall, and I'm sure some of those folks wouldn't be here either.
Yeah, that's right.
You can link to those complete original interviews with Phil Reed and Bill Kendall at hometownheroesradio.com. And you can do the same for Ed Ellington, a decorated fighter pilot who, by the time he left the Mediterranean after the capture of Sicily, had flown 116 combat missions. But the most daring, or perhaps foolhardy, flight he ever took was from Sicily in an aircraft you would not expect an American to be flying. Before we get to that, let's hear about what his missions over Sicily in support of the invasion consisted of.
Most of it was dive bombing, of course, for ground targets. Most of what we did were ground targets. And now, I won't say regularly, because it didn't happen regularly, that the German Air Force would hit us. We pretty well ruined the German Air Force. Our biggest enemy was a ground fire, and they were damn good at that.
So you're flying a P-40 all this time, but we've talked about all the other American planes you had flown at one time or another. And here, when you're in the sky, your nemesis is the Messerschmitt, the ME-109. But you wanted to get in the cockpit of one of those and fly it?
I did.
Why?
Oh, it was the evidence of our enemy, the 109.
Yeah.
And I had to have one.
You just wanted to know what it felt like to be the other guy.
Yeah, well,
in that plane.
I just wanted to see what that airplane was like.
And you actually made that happen?
I made that happen.
Tell me how. How did you get yourself in the cockpit of an ME-109?
Well, I was the operations officer of the squadron, for one thing.
Yep, so you had rank.
Yeah, so the CO was a buddy of mine, so we didn't have any problem there.
So this is July 1943. The 8th Army is in the process of taking Sicily, and one German airfield was captured so quickly that the Luftwaffe didn't have time to destroy those aircraft. So here come a few functioning ME-109s that are left over. And one of them had your name on it, as far as you were concerned.
You know, it was just a quest that I just had to have.
Yeah, you couldn't think about anything else until you got that ME-109.
Yeah, got that 109.
Sure.
And then we got that little island. So the first thing I did is get over there with ahead of everybody else, find a 109, lay claim to it until I got my crew over there, and they put the thing together, and I flew it out of there.
What was that like? Was it different?
Wonderful. Wonderful. It was just, it felt like you just, a heavy accomplishment. As you got this damn one up, and you got it, and you're flying it.
Uh-huh.
It's a hell of a deal.
You'd never been in the cockpit of one of those before. I have to imagine the controls were different from your American
planes.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Everything was different. First place, the throttle was on the right side. Most everything in the cockpit was different. The instruments mostly were similar. Different locations. You had to get familiar with it a little bit. It wasn't hard to fly. It wasn't hard to fly.
How far did you take it?
I brought it into our strip in Sicily, parked in my parking lot.
Again?
Yeah.
These strange planes keep showing up. Maybe this is a dumb question, but while you're flying that German plane with German markings, did you ever think, wait a second, I might be making myself a target here. What if somebody doesn't know it's me?
Well, that happened. I mean, when I got the crew up there to get me ready to fly the airplane, we painted stars on it.
Okay.
But that didn't make it an American airplane. We painted off the German markings. Well, yeah, it fooled people when I came landing in at our base with that damn 109. It was actually stupid because they were ready to shoot it down.
I was going to say, that's what I would have done.
Yeah, they're ready to shoot it down. I tried to minimize it by going up and down the runway a few times and shaking the wings.
So you waved to them, but you couldn't talk to them on the radio because it's a German plane.
No, I couldn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And so they were confused about that airplane. It had American markings on it. The guys go rocking the wings down the runway. And so, but they came damn close to shooting it.
Did you discover that later after talking
to them? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The anti-aircraft was British.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they weren't to be fooled just because the markings were different. They saw that damn 109.
Well, I'm glad that we're sitting here talking.
Me too.
But I realize you missed your chance at history there. You could have been the only pilot in the whole war to be shot down as an American pilot flying a German plane shot down by British anti-aircraft.
I'm sorry. I have to apologize.
No apology necessary, and no decorations for that stunt, of course, but Ed Ellington was awarded the Silver Star and Distinguished Flying Cross, among others. This hour has flown right by, but I hope you have a little more perspective on what happened during the Battle for Sicily 78 years ago this week, and more importantly, the kind of people five of those courageous Americans who helped liberate Sicily happened to be. If you'd like to hear more from any of those five, you'll find each one of their original full-length interviews at hometownheroesradio.com. Thanks so much for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.